503-733. Do you have muffins?
No, I did not.
No, but you had that potato stuff that they made.
No, I didn't have any of it, Rick.
You didn't eat breakfast at all?
No, I had a piece of toast at home.
You didn't have any of the food here?
That sounds
silly. None of the food here. No, and then I had a lasagna when I got here.
I can never eat any of the food here anyway.
Rick, I'm not going to play your reindeer game.
It's so tasty and delicious.
No, it's not. You told me you regret eating it.
Yum, yum, eat them up.
503-733-2970. It's the worst kind of food, too, in that you eat it, and then it's not especially good, but then you still feel like you feel like anything you do, like, I can't bicycle home, but what's the point? At best, it's a wash. 503-733-2. I'm so fat. 503-733-2970. You know, so email me like it's Rick at RickEmerson.com. All right, coming up at the bottom of the hour, we got the CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy. Later on, Jim Roop. Ladies and gentlemen, it's that time once again at the Ministry of Truth. It's Tim Riley.
Time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Get a bit of breaking news here. I-84 was closed due to an explosion.
Really?
In the Dalles. Yeah, a propane tank explosion near the Dalles Dam. So traffic is being diverted at the Celilo exit.
Yeah, nothing like this morning, as Sarah was pointing out that I drove this morning because I'm lame. There's nothing more frustrating. I mean, I guess there are things more frustrating, but there are a few things more frustrating than when you're driving into downtown and the traffic is backed up just all the way up to hell and breakfast, as my mom would say. But when you finally get to the area of impaction, you can't even, there's no reason for it. It's one thing if there's like a stalled vehicle, some guy's car exploded, severed head in the middle of the road, whatever. But did you ever do that thing where you're trying to get onto the Morrison Bridge or the Ross Island Bridge and it's backed all the way up to like 80 seconds or something? You're driving along, creeping along really slowly. You get there, and there's not even any reason for it to be backed up. There's no reason at all. That's the thing that becomes, it's just the mystifying nature of traffic screw-ups in this city. Most of which, in my opinion, can be blamed on bad merging. Sons of bitches. All right, where did my pen go?
All right. You don't need one.
No, I do. I don't. What? I lost my pen. I had to find it. By the way, we had a guy, let's see, was this a fan? We had a fantastic email. Rick, do you have any... Do you have any idea how difficult it is to eat a cheese burrito while listening to discuss fat upper pelvis areas? Please to be stopping it now. All right, sorry about that. Rick. Oh, God. This is from Kristen. Rick, you haven't seen anything until you take a gander at the white trash contest that happened at Dante's on Saturday night. I just happened to stop by to talk to Stephanie, and I was subjected to some of the most horrendous-looking women in Portland. The woman who won... Oh... The woman who won was wearing a thong that rode up above her belt line, separating the rolls of fat, hanging out over her Daisy Dukes. All right, so there you go. All right, so sorry for the cheese eating, the cheese enchilada eating members of the audience for the last. There's a whole list of foods you probably shouldn't eat to. Try to eat during the noon hour here at all. I would say avoid anything that is sort of yogurty at all. And it has any kind of sort of cream-like consistency. I would avoid that during at least the first 2 hours of this
because
broadcast.
Because there will be a reference to stringy milk at some point.
Stringy milk or something coagulating. Or a heart simmering in a saucepan. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, breaking news here. Kirk Fordham, the top Republican aide and former chief of staff to disgraced Mark Foley.
Fordham, I barely knew him.
Resigned today amid concerns about his role in the sex scandal. So here's the text here. I have resigned today from Congressman Tom Reynolds' office. It is clear the Democrats are intent on making me a political issue in my boss's race, and I will not let them do so.
Well, yeah, well of course he quit. But you can't put that on a resume ever again. What job are you ever going to get with Mark Foley? Who did you work for? There's no... You're never going to get yourself a position anywhere with that. That's like what... I mean, did you ever meet somebody and they worked at some place that has, like, just a really, really... I actually met somebody... Oh, God, this is... Now, where was this? It was a few months ago, and I met somebody, and he had worked at Enron. And it was like, where did you work? Well, I worked at whatever, blah, 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 petroleum. And then before that, I worked at Procter & Gamble and... Enron, and it's like, and it was some big, high-paying, big-ticket job. And but of course, you could just never put it on a resume ever again. You can't hire some guy who worked at Enron. So I mean, yeah, that's a whole section of your personal history you just have to start deleting.
So he says, I want to clarify a few things. When I sat to help Congressman Foley and his family, here we go with
There's no family again. There is no
family. Well, Republicans always use stuff like
no, other guys you met at a Judy Garland convention are not family. It's guys you know.
When his shocking secret was revealed, I did so as a friend to my former boss, not as Congressman Reynolds' chief of staff.
Uh-huh.
I reached out to the Foley family.
Yeah.
At the same time, I want to be perfectly clear. I never attempted to prevent any inquiries or investigation of Foley's conduct by health officials or any other authorities.
This is how it begins.
Like so many, I feel betrayed by Mark Foley's indefensible behavior.
It's the sound. Oh, it's the sound of distancing. You can hear them scurrying away like so many church mice. Is pushing themselves further and further away from this guy. And by the way, when you say that you reached out to Mark Foley's family, it does sound really inappropriate. It sounds like there really is just some sort of slatternly code for something. There is no Mark Foley has no family. I have no family. And this is exactly the sort of thing you heard. You know, the more things change, the more they don't, my friends. You heard during Iran-Contra, too, a whole lot of, let me be clear, at no point did I attempt to impede any investigation. This is all the legacy of the Saturday night massacre during the Watergate thing, where Nixon just went crazy and started firing everybody within sight over the course of like 36 hours. And that's what everybody ended up getting strung up for, was not even Watergate itself, but the fact that they just lied and covered up and tried to impede the investigation about it. Ask Bob Haldeman about that.
We interrupt this Mark Foley story for this that will never make the news today. The entire Baghdad Police Division, numbering 700 men, have all been relieved of duty due to the fact that they're collaborating with death squads. This story should be the top story today. Wouldn't you not agree?
Well, somebody, I don't believe this to be the case, but somebody had speculated that it wasn't Clyde.
It should be the top story.
Some Clyde-type person had speculated that the Mark Foley thing, this is where I think you're almost giving the Republicans too much credit, even though they are evil geniuses. Mm-hmm. Somebody had suggested that the Republicans knew about Mark Foley and his predilection for small boys, and that they kept it in their back pocket for this moment, for when Iraq really started to go belly up, and that they then tossed Mark Foley out to distract us all from the fact that Iraq is a big disaster. Here's why that's not true. Everyone knows Iraq is a big disaster. All we do now is we just think about Iraq when we're not thinking about Mark Foley. It's not like he's really going to save the Republicans at all. But is this the same Baghdad Police Department where there was, quote, it was raining feces?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's some sort of a song there, but I don't know what it is.
Once again, the entire Baghdad Police Division, numbering 700 men, have been relieved of duty due to the fact that they were collaborating with Death Squad.
Well, I'm sure we'll hear that reported everywhere by today, mm-hmm. when they're not busy identifying Mark Foley as a Democrat.
They must undergo retraining, whatever that means.
What retraining is there for a guy who was on a death squad? Really, it seems like once you go death squad, baby, you never go back. If you really need training to be told not to be on something called a death... I know that sometimes in the corporate world, there's a lot of lingo and a lot of slang for things, but it seems like when you're joining something called a death squad, I don't really know that you can claim you were unaware as to the nature of that organization. It's not really like you can be told that's a civic group that just cleans highways or something. Hold on. Scotty's saying to get my Z ready. Let's see. Our good friend Diana downtown. Hey, sister, what's up?
Oh, I've got the worst joke.
Okay, is this going to be a Mark Foley joke?
Of course.
Is it clean?
The best kind.
Yes.
Don't offend it.
I'm not offended.
All the Jackson jokes have started to be retrofitted as Foley jokes, and they're all showing up in the inbox. All right, what is it?
Well, you know why the congressmen don't like going over to the Library of Congress.
I don't know.
Because they can't bend the pages.
There you go. There you go. Thank you. Thank you, Diana. All right, there you go. That's good times. That's really what I'm talking about. Oh, that really is true, Scotty. Can you make that happen? No, can you Foley watch? Can you put that together? I know they got it. They got it next door at K-Hits. I know they do. Sir, I'll eat my hat. They don't have it at K-Hits. Yeah, all right. Scotty, I really am. I'm sorry. I apologize for not thinking of that myself. I should have thought of that. All right. Thank you, sir. Yeah, Foley watch maybe by the end.
We now return to Foley's Follies. Already in progress. Well, the attorney for the disgraced congressman maintains that Foley is not a pedophile. Oh. As a matter of fact, David Roth made the statement three times at a news conference He said, in spite of the revelations, only abused no one.
He reiterates unequivocally that he has never had sexual contact with a minor.
That's only because they found him hideous and unattractive. That's obviously the... That's like saying, oh, please, that's like saying that I wasn't, a horned up teenager all the way through adolescence simply because I couldn't find any girls that found me palatable. Just because you can't find anybody to stoop you doesn't mean that you're not whatever it is that you clearly are. Didn't we read numerous times here that it's a lot of, when are you coming to town? I don't know. When are you going to be in D.C.? I don't know. The Drumline is coming to town next week. Why don't you stay at my townhouse? I'm afraid. Come on over. It certainly wasn't for lack of trying. It's just that Mark Foley can't close the deal. So in addition to being a pervert, he's apparently also decidedly uncharismatic and has no game.
Once again, Mark Foley is not a pedophile.
Mark explicitly reaffirms his acceptance of responsibility and remorse. He reiterates unequivocally that he has never had sexual contact with a minor.
Well, I guess that all... Yeah, but see, this is it. They're going to get into the whole Democrat thing. It's going to depend on how they define sexual... Here's the thing. He may say unequivocally that he's never had sexual contact with a minor, but I'm guessing if 5 days ago, you'd asked him unequivocally if he'd ever engaged in hot, dirty IMing with 15-year-old boys, that he probably would have unequivocally denied that as well. So... I don't really know that his unequivocal denials are worth the paper that they're printed on at this point. So, I mean, just tread lightly. All right, here's Jim Riley.
So anyway, the revelation yesterday was he was abused by some parish priests.
Let's put all this in quotes.
Because he belonged to the Catholic Church.
He very much wanted to release the name of the individual, the church affiliation, and other details.
Except that it's all made up.
But was advised by civil counsel to delay that decision pending his completion of treatment after Mark has had an opportunity to consult with counsel.
Yes, because what he wouldn't want to do is get himself involved in any legal entanglements right now. Mm-hmm. Whatever you do. And you know what that was. That was a whole lot of, I'm not responsible because I'm an alcoholic. And then it just sort of lands with a thud. Okay, I was abused. Throw that out. And clearly no one is... I can count on zero fingers the number of people we've talked to who believe either of those things, by the way. And the next thing is going to be that he has a huge golf ball-sized tumor inside his brain that was pressing down on some lobe and making him wish to diddle the underage. That's going to be the next thing that they try here. Because nobody's buying either of these things.
Hmm.
I mean, I hate to be stepping in at this point to say that the Catholic Church at this point probably did not molest somebody, because I'm really not used to taking an attack, but this does seem a little convenient.
Former congressional page Tyson Vivian said he knew Foley and was interviewed by the FBI regarding the congressman.
I never pursued or welcomed anything sexual in nature from the congressman. My important thing was trying to maintain and build platonic, strong contacts in Washington, D.C. for my future, just like any good politically savvy individual would. Unfortunately, the congressman apparently didn't have the same ideas in mind.
You know, this never would have happened if J. Edgar Hoover was in charge. J. Edgar Hoover was still there. This all would have been quashed years ago. Things would taken care of, right? I bet never mind. I was going to say, I just, there's some photo of Mark Foley out there swishing around the house in a kimono. You know that that's going to be the next thing we're going to have to see. Buttocks exposed. It's just going to be, it's going to be so unpleasant. All right.
In 1995, male House pages are warned to steer clear of the freshman Republican from Florida.
Where? When?
1995. 1995.
2005, you mean.
1995.
A decade ago?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right.
Who is already learning the names of teenagers, dashing off notes, letters, and emails to them.
Dashing off notes.
And asking them to please join him for ice cream.
Jesus Christ. Is this sound? Am I supposed to be playing sound? Thank God Almighty. Dashing off notes. You know, there's one thing if you're engaging in correspondence, if you're writing letters, if one is perhaps composing and delivering an email. That's a whole world apart from dashing off notes. You write a letter to somebody, you dash off a note when that's somebody that you're trying to see nude at your house later on. Dashing off a note is a whole lot of like, where you just use, it's a whole lot of initials, like, B, lunch later, M. That's what dashing off a note is.
Well, Mark Beckhaman, now a graduate student in clinical psychology at George Washington University, and more than a dozen other former pages entered interviews by email that Mark Foley was known to be extraordinarily friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Beckhaman, who is now a Republican, who was a Republican page and now a Democrat, said the attention was weird. And he provided a handwritten letter that Foley sent to him back in his page days. The note suggested they get together during the Republican convention in San Diego in 1996.
Smell of Sex Panther. Oh, God. All right. Fantastic. There you go. Get together for ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
You know, never mind. Who says that? What kind of adult says that to any...
Maybe an ice cream social.
Maybe I'm not supposed to find that creepy, but I do. There's one thing about if you say, as Eddie Izzard once said, if you ask somebody to get together for coffee, that clearly means, will you sleep with me? If you ask somebody to get together for ice cream, it's just got a whole... I mean, it's just that's a whole lot of, like, you know, do you want to go to the dance with me? Which is especially creepy when he's, like, 45. Hey, Scotty, do we have Harvey Korman, Tim Conway tickets today? Do we know? Because we had them last week. We do. All right. Is it a pair each day this week? What is the deal with that? Or is it just, or do we have like a one pair this week or a pair each day? Okay, we're checking. But we know that we have some this week. All right. Because, and I do have a point here. Tim Conway and Harvey Korman are going around on their farewell tour. They're going to be here November 17th at the Schnitzer. Tim Riley and I are going to be there doing the house announcements. And I believe we're going to be having them on the show as well. So I do have a, because normally our giveaway mechanism is just so lame. Because I don't know how, my contesting skills are poor.
That's the secret sound.
That's,
oh, that wasn't lame.
You're a terrible person. You're an awful person, Tim Riley. We were talking about something else. anyway, and the... thank you, yes.
Thank you.
Unscramble this word.
So much.
Anywho, but I got some stuff planned because we're going to be doing fifth row, then fourth row, then third row, and then all the way down to first row. First row winners will also get to go backstage. Harvey Korman, Tim Conway, a farewell tour, which is coming up November 17th. So what Scotty was suggesting, see, I had originally suggested something along the lines of the best Mark Foley joke. But here's the problem is, A, they're all just going to be recycled Michael Jackson jokes. With the exception of the one that Diana, but, and how many times can you do a thing about bending a page? Really, that ship has sailed. I know it sounded like... thank you, Scott.
We should have people make up their own instant messages.
Oh, that's just wrong,
or maybe
though.
Have Mark Foley speaking. I don't know.
I was thinking create a Foley watch, you know, because I have an idea for a Foley watch theme. But who knows? And you know that... see, that's what I'm saying, because you know the story is going to last at least the end of the week. And look at how quickly people turned around those Delana sounders.
I suppose we could use some old Jackson watch material.
That was. I almost busted out the clergy watch theme for the year with the Foley. I was touched by a priest. Because people were turning around those Delana sounders in like a day. I mean, I said that when we did that Delana contest, I said it at like noon, and before the end of the program, we already had submissions. So maybe okay. So that's what Scotty approves. Yes, perfect. Yes, have some. So here's what we're gonna do. We got a pair of tickets. Why are you putting those pictures on the screen? Is that the Britney Spears where she's pregnant sucking a lollipop?
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I suppose.
She's better than she has.
It's called airbrushing. That's what that's all about. And it's weird, too, because you can't tell that she's pregnant right away. It just looks like there's something wrong with her back. It just looks like her spine is... it looks like she's got scoliosis. Did you ever know anybody who actually got scoliosis? It's one of those things they checked for in school, and I think that's just a way for boys to come in and be groped by older men. They did that.
Yeah, that was really creepy when they'd stroke your back up and down.
Stroke your back, and I don't know about y'all. How did they do the scoliosis? I'm going to get back to my point here. I'm going to get back to the Foley sounder here in a second. I'm going to remember this. I'm not going to get off track. But
wouldn't they just have you like bend over and then they feel your spine to see if it was straight?
Yeah, but where did they? Let me ask you this. You're sitting there in class. They come in and they say, "Sarah, it's time for your scoliosis exam." How do they do that? What happens?
I really don't. All I remember is just having some person like touching my back.
All I remember is a black room, and then suddenly everything...
Why, what happened with you?
Tim Riley, did they check you guys for scoliosis, or was that after your time? No, they didn't care about your spines.
I don't remember anything like that.
Scoliosis, I don't even think scoliosis is real. I don't even think it happens. I've never even known anybody.
I've known someone who has scoliosis.
Really? Yeah. Are they all bendy?
They're not all bendy.
You can't even do anything about it. They're a little white. Sarah just did this.
I knew a girl had to have a back brace.
Sarah just
no, they have
great...
problems like turning.
Okay, but here's how... I'm not making fun of the disease.
And I'm not making fun of it either.
No, but I'm saying here's how Sarah depicted someone having scoliosis. She said, yeah, I knew a girl who was all... And then you're sitting, but it was like with your upper half, you were doing the twist by Chubby Checker. Which was great. Okay, well, maybe, so there's somebody once who had it. I remember it was like they would show us these crude, these cartoon drawings, not crude, but I mean, just sort of like very simple line drawings of like, here's your normal spine, and it's like, it's straight. Here's scoliosis, and literally they would just draw an S. Like, there you go, that's it. Which scares the hell out of you when you're a kid. You don't want your spine to be an S. What kind of a life can you have? Your spine is an S.
Oh, what did they
you
do?
You can be a motivational speaker.
Yes. Roll yourself onto the stage. Kids, your dreams are achievable. Your dreams aren't achievable if your spine is straight. If your spine is an S, you're effed. You've got nothing. You're achieving nothing. All right. Except to be in Roger Corman films. That's it. Anyway, so when I was in school, here's how they would check us for scoliosis. How did we even get onto this? They would check us for scoliosis. They would take us... It's so creepy when you think about it in retrospect. They would take all the boys into the gym, into the gymnasium. And that's a bad start to anything, by the way. They would take all the boys into the gymnasium, and then this doctor, who, I swear to God, giggled uncontrollably, took us into a locker room by ourselves, one by one, and would have us undress and then rub our back. I mean, Tim's look says it all. That's what I'm saying. It's just weird, isn't it?
It's uncalled for.
It's one of those things that you don't really think about being creepy until you look back at it and you're like, wait a minute. That wasn't necessary. First of all,
how did the school board approve such a procedure?
Well,
and what led to it? By whom?
We were Catholic, you know, so they don't have a problem. I mean, there's all kinds of... You know, the Catholics are just... They're weird about that kind of stuff. They just don't care. But, I mean... Look, I won't even be alone in my office with another employee without the blinds open. You got to make sure that all that stuff is observable. You know, I won't sit in the office with anybody who works here unless a door is open or the blinds are up. You don't ever want to be in an isolated room with somebody where nobody can see what's going on. That's going to end badly. And these are the grown men taking us into a locker room. I still remember this. It's, come on, Richard, it's like a chick tract. All right, Richard, you're next. It's that time again. Taking me, not by the hand, but taking me as a small boy, I'm probably 10.
Grab with the neck.
Taking me into a locker room. It's like in the middle of the day, so the locker room is empty, the door shuts. And then it's just me and this doctor. And he said, I swear to God, take off your shirt and turn around. Which is like you're being deloused at Shawshank. So I take off my shirt, I turn around, the doctor comes up behind me, we're in a locker room, empty, just the two of us. I'm not saying anything sexual happened, because it did not, but it does. I was going to say nothing inappropriate, but who knows what's inappropriate. The doctor comes up behind me and says, all right, now just bend forward. So I bend forward, shirtless, in a locker room, alone with an older man, and then he's just rubbing his hands up and down my back, and I swear to God, giggling a little under his breath. That's the very worst part when you think back on it. Boy, that'll just give you hives late at night. What are you looking at? There's nothing wrong with me. That's just weird. Oh, God. It's a strange world we live in here. Oh, I guess we're breaking now. Nothing a little Dio won't cure. All right. Is this a story about cadavers? Scotty is spelling cadaver, cadaver, with a B.
Abracadaver.
Cadaver. What does that even mean? Yeah, I know what it is. It's a dead body. Okay, no, thank you. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We're back with Tim Riley after this. Also seeing radio correspondent Ed McCarthy. Yeah, ride the tiger. Who can put it better than that? We're back after this. It's AM 970 Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere. Rick Emerson radio program. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. All right, so... All right, yeah, thank you. Okay, so we're figuring out the Harvey Korman, Tim Conway ticket thing. But I think... See, somebody had a great idea. Where was this? Right here. Rick. And it just starts off, there once was a page from the Hill. See, we got to fully watch theme is a great idea. I'm a sucker for limericks, though. All right. Well, we'll have to figure it out. It's 503-733-2970. More from Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth coming up. Later on, CNN Radio correspondent Jim Roop will be joining us as well. Should I? Yeah, okay. Well, we'll get Ed McCarthy in a second. Should I get this Kadaber info? Scott, okay, thank you. Dick, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rick.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, my buddy has a kid who was diagnosed with that scoliosis years ago.
Uh-huh.
And she went through all of them braces and days and nights. And just this last, probably 8 months ago, they actually went in and cut the scoliosis part out and put a cadaver piece in there.
Oh, the
used her back together, and the kid stood up 3 inches taller 2 days later.
Are you kidding me? So they actually gave her part of a dead person's spine?
And put it in and fused it up, and she's out walking around.
I didn't know. I mean, I'm not saying it's...
That's pretty cool.
It is cool, but it's just weird. I didn't know you could do that. I thought you could only do that with, like, living, like, organs. I didn't know you could, like...
They were going to do that, and I freaked out. I'm like, no way. Does the doctor have, like, red clown feet and a nose or what? They fixed her.
That's really cool. I mean, I'm not freaked out by that stuff the way that a lot of people are. I think that's like a lot of, like, that sort of man's ingenuity right there. That's the you know what it is? It's good old human innovation. But that's just weird. So you could actually donate your spine if you wanted to.
Apparently so, because I was like, where did it come from? Who did it come from? How do you know?
That's really cool. And so she's taller?
Yeah, like 3 inches, because the scoliosis is actually like discs that are breaking down, and you're kind of shrinking, and you're kind of, you know, like grandma's getting shorter.
Oh, that's true, and so that's why you sort of are bendy, too, because, of course, they don't fall, as they break down, they gravity just sort of works, and you sort of don't, it's not perfectly straight. Yeah, okay.
Right, well, they took those bad section out and put a good section in from a cadaver and fused her up, and she's up and walking and running.
That's fantastic, and now she has a great story to tell for the rest of her life.
Yeah, she's good to go, man.
Right on. Cool. Excellent. All right. Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Take care.
There you go. We had a little, there you go. Thank you, Scotty. Well spotted. Kadaber. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Live from the Dirty South, our good friend, CNN radio correspondent, Ed McCarthy. How are you, sir?
I'm good, Rick. Scoliosis. I guess that explains why a lot of people, you just see knuckles on the wheel and they get older.
Well, we were talking about and I think that this is a thing they started doing at a certain point when I was growing up. I think in like the 80s, they started instituting scoliosis checks in school. It was one of those things that I know our news guy, Tim Riley, he didn't have to go through, but Sarah and I both did. And it's just one of those, it's one of those things that I didn't think anybody ever really got. You know what I mean? It's one of those ailments they were always discussing that you never actually knew anybody who had it. And apparently that can give you part of a dead person's spine, which is alternately weird and great. So,
do you take that off your insurance?
I really don't know. And I thought the same thing the guy did when the guy said, yeah, and they gave her a spine from a corpse. I was like, well, what doctor is this? Like, doctor, is this doctor in an alley wearing a trench coat or something? Or
How does MetLife figure that one out when they do the deductible at the end of the year? Right?
I really don't know. Well, now I know what it is. There's one more thing I can donate when I die. We had talked to Lisa Goddard yesterday. She had been in Lancaster County, which is in Pennsylvania, about this Amish thing, and there was some debate about this guy and whether either it was a grudge from some past incident or B, the other story we had heard, and she was unclear about which it was. The other story we'd heard is that he felt like he was going to be molesting again, and so his solution was just to go and kill all the kids in advance, which I guess is some horrible... I guess it's like throwing out food so you don't eat it or something.
Yeah,
What is the story with this guy to the best that we can figure out in his crazy way of thinking?
It's now we figured out it's the latter, and, you know, there's no confirmation from anybody that they were actually molested, but he said 20 years ago he molested some relatives, and also he was distraught over years ago that... a baby died a short time after birth, his child. Just a very strange situation. And then all of the bizarre things that were found at the scene, you know, chains and all kinds of things. And,
yeah.
You know, it's just really, I don't want to get into it.
No,
people down.
No.
It's just terrible, the whole thing. And, you know, you feel bad because these people, in the Amish country, I mean, they have their own customs and everything, and they're just good folks, you know, and they just, they mind their own business, and then to have this happen, and, you know, a psychologist was on today, he's a forensic psychologist, and he said that it's likely that he targeted the Amish because he felt that they were not going to be the type that would resist.
Well,
it's so sad.
Which is apparently what she, Lisa Goddard, said something that I didn't know. She said that it was actually they're so nonviolent that actually they, even though they are allowed to have guns, that they have guns only for hunting and that they actually don't even use them in self-defense. So even if a guy's there in the house with a, you know, with a weapon of some kind, that they just don't do anything in response. So it's all, it really is just. And I think, you know, whether anybody understands, you know, why you would want to be Amish or not, I think we all, it's a weird thing with the Amish, actually. The people in America, and again, I'm a dyed-in-the-wool agnostic myself. I'm not particularly spiritual in any way, but I think everybody, the Amish are one of those things that when you hear about somebody, some crime or some horrible thing that happens in the Amish community, I think everybody, regardless of who they are, just kind of goes, why the Amish? Like, I didn't know who has a problem with the Amish. And so these things do tend to resonate a lot more in this country for some reason. As the Amish, I don't mean this to sound condescending, but the Amish, in a way, they are this sort of strange subculture that the rest of us sort of, I don't know, that we, I think we feel kind of strangely protective of them because they are just so cloistered and so, you know, very, they seem so very honorable and so set in a very legitimate spiritual, you know, path that, you know.
And peaceful people, that's the whole thing. I mean, that's the whole juggernaut of the story is that, you know, such peaceful people could be victimized like this, and it's just really one of those terrible things.
Yeah. Anyway, it's just a whole. This is a weird week, man. We got the Amish thing, and we got the Mark Foley thing going on, which is a whole lot of. And I know that this. And I know when a story is related to another story. I've been working in the media long enough that I can spot when there are ancillary news items that are put out because of something. This is the other thing that they said you were talking about today. Right below the Amish shooting is. Have you ever sent an email from work you wish you hadn't? While many people are careful not to send offensive emails or instant messages from work, it does happen. And so clearly that's one of those stories that they just had sitting in a pile somewhere. And as soon as the Mark Foley got busted for this, they decided to send you out. And I always just assume that when you send any email, you receive anything that appears on your computer screen at any point, there's some guy with thick glasses and a Star Trek shirt sitting in a building somewhere hundreds of miles away watching it.
Yeah, I know, it's true. Sometimes you send emails on purpose. I mean, yeah, you know, I'm not talking about anything that's, you know, obscene or anything like that. But you'll send one on purpose and say, you know, what about this? And I go, well, I think that was really a stupid idea, and you just hope that somebody sees that and recognizes what you're doing.
Yeah, well, you know,
wake them up. If you're reading this stuff, wake up.
Seriously, to the guy in the IT department. By the way, please come fix my my laptop. Yeah, I have friends of mine actually who in the wake of the Patriot Act, they just sort of take it as an article of faith that there's like a 1 in 3 chance that the government is listening in on your phone call, reading your email, going through your garbage or something like that. You know, and I have a friend of mine, and she routinely will talk on the phone, and she routinely jokes, and she'll say, "So, to any CIA agents who may be listening in." You know, you hear all of those things about how any email you send, if you use the word terrorism or drugs or gun or whatever, that there's just, again, it goes to some room somewhere in a basement at Quantico, and there's a guy who looks like Jack Black just sitting behind there, you know, with a Twinkie in one hand and a mouse in the other, just reading all of our stuff. So, you know.
We write the emails at work about scoliosis because we want our chairs fixed in the newsroom.
I am so tempted to come and just do a big swing through the South just so I can come see the CNN News Center.
Well, you'd have to.
We
do more than that. We'd head out to dinner and have a good time.
We should do the show. Here's what we ought to get: CBS Radio. We'll send us on the road. We'll do the show from each of our CNN outposts. We'll do L.A. with Roop. Go through Atlanta. We do D.C. End up in New York City with Baumgarten. That's it, man. That's what we ought to do: a CNN oriented road trip.
Well, we need a month's vacation after this.
Dude, that's what I'm saying. Well, one of these days, and I don't know when it's going to happen, one of these days we're going to do a station event and we're going to get all y'all up here and we will reenact this program live for the people, and we will have all the CNN folks up here. So just we're going to do that one of these days. All right,
Mike. You tell me when you're coming. I'm taking the day off, and we're playing golf.
Exactly. Frisbee golf. That's the only kind I'm any good at.
All right, okay.
All right, Ed McCarthy, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
You betcha. Bye-bye. Right,
there you go. That's CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy in Atlanta. All right, it's 503-733-2970. In just a few seconds, we'll be rejoined by Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Let's see. We've got the Rick. When I was in junior high school, we were checked for scoliosis every year by the gay PE teacher, who was female. Boy, and every school has one of those, too. Just hair that looks like wire wool. Was widely known to be longtime friends with the English teacher. We were all herded. Is this from a woman? Yeah. We were all herded into the locker room, told to strip all the way down to our underwear. And we each had to get checked by her rubbing her hands on our spine while we bent over. I remember it vividly to this day. Take care. Yeah, okay. Let's see. Rick, out of concern for Sarah's discomfort over the term aroused, perhaps you should find an alternate term. Perhaps your male listeners can become moist.
Oh.
There you go. That's what it is. From now on, male listeners become moist.
It's not the word. It just kind of weirds me out hearing you say that constantly.
Aroused?
You say it all the time.
But here's the thing that I don't say it all the time.
You do say it all the time. You say it at least once a show.
I think you hear it all the time.
No.
I think it's one of those.
I think you say it a little bit more than you realize.
I don't know. I don't believe so. I think that's when you buy a minivan and suddenly you see minivans everywhere. I think you have a weird, not a fetish, but I think you have a weird fixation on the word aroused. And then so you hear it all the time on the program.
I hear it because you say it.
I don't. Clearly, we're going nowhere here.
we go back and forth.
All I'm saying is that I use that term. The irony is, of course, that I use that term as a replacement for many other more crude terms, which I choose not to use, because we don't work blue on this show. You never play the big room if you work blue.
Why don't we use intrigued?
Can I use intrigued? No, but you're intrigued by, like, you know, what's that strange insect on the floor? You're intrigued by, you know, who shot J.R. If you're Mark Foley, you're
intrigued by a young boy.
You're not intrigued. No, intrigued.
Don't you think he's intrigued by them?
No, here's the thing. You can be.
Now that doesn't sound like a word because we said it so much.
But intrigued is like, intrigued sounds like a medical term. Intrigued is like hey, I've seen that new guy working in the office down there. What's his deal? What's his job? That's intrigued. You can't use intrigued for aroused because you can't use aroused for intrigued. You know what I mean? You can't go, hey, who's the new guy working across the hall? I'm aroused by his presence. You can't do it. I mean, maybe you could, but I'm saying you wouldn't want to. I will continue to say aroused quite proudly. Aroused, 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 aroused. Here's Tim Riley.
Hi. Wow. I was just lost in conversation and didn't know where to go after that.
There's nowhere. You have to just snip this whole part with mental scissors.
All right, so back to this story again because we have something breaking on it.
Oh, no.
The resignation of Kurt Fordham as former chief of staff for Mark Foley came after he tried to cut a deal with ABC to suppress the information.
So Mark Fordham, is that his name?
Yes.
Kurt Fordham. So he is the chief of staff?
Is the former chief of staff to disgrace Representative Mark Foley.
All right. And so what is the deal? He went to ABC and he's like, I know you have these. I can get you a set of beef. What else do you do? Do you like cigars? What kind of cigars do you like?
Get some Al Gore tickets.
Yeah, and ABC said, no. And by the way, Mark Foley likes boys. Is that, that's really what happened? Well, then, I mean, clearly he played it all wrong. What should he have done? Anyone? Gone to Fox News. Because Fox News, despite Bob Costantini's insistence on giving both sides of this allegedly two-sided story, Fox News knew about this a year ago. He should have gone, because ABC News got no vested interest in protecting Mark Foley. Fox News got you can tell they've got a vested interest in protecting Mark Foley because they keep calling him a Democrat. So he should have gone to Fox News and been like, look, what you going to, you know, how can we make this, how can we make this go away together? He totally should have done that. So I don't know what the hell he's thinking. All right, well.
I got a couple sound bites left. Number five. Bob Novak said the Republican leadership in Congress should have known about the police scandal. Well, the media coverage months ago.
The fact is that this stuff was sloshing around Capitol Hill.
Sloshing around?
In Florida. Wasn't exactly a closely guarded secret.
Did he really say it was sloshing around? Let's hear that again.
The fact is that this stuff was sloshing around Capitol Hill. It was in the newspapers in Florida. wasn't exactly a closely guarded secret.
Okay.
Novak says, going on to bank number B, Novak says the Republican leadership was wrong to convince Foley to continue running for his seat in Congress when they knew about the scandal surrounding him all along.
The leadership was so oblivious to all this when they should have been trying to talk Mr. Foley out of running instead of into running.
Okay. All right. There you go.
Well, a lot of people are wondering why Arnold Schwarzenegger did not appear with the president when he visited California. Schwarzenegger denies he believes the president is a liability to his campaign for re-election.
President Bush is coming out here not to help California, but to do fundraising in California. And so there's no reason for me to meet with him because I am attending business.
All right, there you go.
Meanwhile, he took a field trip to Stockton, California to visit George W. Bush Elementary School.
Is there a George W. Bush Elementary
there
School?
Is. There really
oh,
is.
Man.
In Stockton, California.
Sometimes, I mean, there's no point. Why even make fun of it?
And the principal, Sylvia Elmer, says it got a little confusing when Bush came face to face with a life-size cardboard cutout of himself she keeps in her office.
I told him about it, that he keeps me company when you don't show up. And he said, bring him over, I want to meet him. And so he looked at him, he says, I need to sign him for you.
The best thing is that in case there's some sort of a national emergency, like we're under attack, you can easily substitute the cardboard cutout for the George W. Bush in real life, because they both do the same thing, which is nothing! They both sit there for 7 minutes immobile, being useless.
Meanwhile, Larry Birkhead isn't backing down from his claim that he's the true father of Anna Nicole Smith's baby. According to Entertainment Tonight, the photographer has filed a paternity suit in L.A. in an effort to prove his case. Ron Rail, who served as personal counsel for Anna Nicole Smith in a recent estate litigation today, refused to answer questions about the case.
She shouldn't be talking to Anna Nicole anyway, because Anna Nicole has counsel. It is, certainly shouldn't be spoken to the press. You're going to get very little from me. We're not going to talk about the case.
All right. I saw the worst picture of Anna Nicole. We didn't get to any of our God. Maybe we'll get to it here in the 1 o'clock hour. I saw the worst picture of her this morning. She just looks. Here's the problem is, the problem with the plastic, was it you that showed me that picture of Victoria Beckham, Posh Spice?
Oh, with her big plastic boobs?
Yeah, with her big fake. I mean, they look like Velcro boobs.
Mm-hmm.
It really does look like you took, me or Scotty or and just stuck them right on the front there. I mean, they look like. And I'm just saying this now, speaking now as a journalist. They do look like what I imagine your friend Kara looks like. What's it, Kara, who has no nipples?
Mm-hmm.
They look exactly like what I think hers would look like, mm-hmm. the way I sort of imagine them. Because they really are like two halves of a small small.
But at the same time,
sphere.
They're kind of pretty because she's so, you know, perfect looking. There's no, like, fat on her. She's just this little stick woman with these giant, perfect ball boobs.
They're pretty. It's just that everything around them, which is to say the rest of her, is hideous.
Yeah.
There's nothing. See, do you think she's pretty?
Mm-mm.
I mean, here's what we should be very distinct about this. Here's the thing. Pretty, I've been thinking about this a lot, actually, because we had this whole discussion last, 2 hours ago about, really? Is it halfway through again?
Yeah.
Damn.
Mm-hmm.
Where does the time go? We had this discussion in the 11 o'clock hour about how hideously skinny women, i.e. Nicole Richie, always think that they're fat and ugly. And then fat women always think that they're sassy and sexy. And I was thinking about the difference between, which we talk about a lot, about pretty and hot and beautiful and whatever. Pretty is all about the face. That's what it is. It really, I've come to that conclusion, and every day I think, I believe that more and more firmly, that pretty is all about the face. Victoria Beckham got a pretty face. See, that's the thing. A pretty girl, that is almost completely separate from the issue of body weight, of the size of what size you are. It is weight neutral. So she's got a really pretty face. But the problem with that plastic surgery is, and Anna Nicole Smith, the same thing. It's like, I don't know, it's like only replacing one part of a car that's slowly just coming, disintegrating. Because you got Victoria Beckham, who's all just like spiny and overbaked, like some sort of emaciated chicken. And then she's got these perfect breasts. She's right there. And it's like she'll be dead. Posh Spice, and I saw her. I didn't meet her, but I was about 10 feet away from her. I saw her in person.
Oh, really?
At the Daily Show. When I was at the Daily Show taping.
Was it when she was this skinny?
It was when she went crazy and told Jon Stewart, you're not funny. In Britain, we have people who are funny. I don't know why anyone watches you. She was just a horrible. She was the Bluth boat, is what she was.
So that is a... Are you talking about, like... Never mind. Maybe I'm thinking of something morbid. Like, how long do breast implants last after you're dead?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
She's going to be dead, and she will still have perfect bosoms.
And her breasts will continue to live.
Because I don't, her breasts will live on.
She'll have a skeleton and, like, two plastic pouches.
Totally. It's a lot of, like, I must die, but you must live for the future breasts.
The rest of her went to a better place.
Well, I... because, I mean, they don't...
They must be bio... No?
Do they bury you in your breast implants?
Do they have to take them out during the autopsy?
Inquiring minds want to know. It's 503-733-2970.
I am actually really curious.
I don't know the answer to that now because, well, if you're in a casket, what's the difference between a casket and a coffin, Tim? Go.
Well, a coffin sounds classier.
The casket sounds classier. Doesn't it? The coffin sounds like a pine box.
A casket doesn't sound like it's carpeted.
I don't think either of them are carpeted. What kind of funerals are you going to? They're carpeted? Nothing's carpeted inside there.
It's some velvet...
It's satin, but that's a casket.
It's a
casket. A tisket.
Aren't they the same thing?
I don't know.
Well, either one can be used to bury somebody's...
And I guess it doesn't really matter if you leave the breast implants in because presumably you're not going to be reopening the casket.
Well, who knows? I mean... Depends on what if you're one of those kids in West Virginia or whatever that was. This girl looks so pretty.
Well, if somebody's cremated, couldn't they cause a further explosion?
Well, cremation is a separate issue. I don't think you can... I think they cremate you nude.
All right.
I'm really legitimately interested in this, actually.
Of course they cremate you nude, but I mean, that doesn't... If you have implants, would they explode?
I don't know the answer to that. No, we have...
Nobody
that
else
was my
knows.
Question.
Well, nobody...
Yeah,
I was waiting for some sort of, an undertaker or somebody to call. What about Brent? Don't we know... What's his name? Brent? Isn't he a...
Yeah.
What is he exactly?
I think... I don't know if he works there anymore.
Is he an undertaker or is he an autopsy guy? What does he do? It was something to do with corpses.
I think he did autopsies.
How about Todd the Corpse? Would he know?
Maybe Todd the Corpse. That's one of those things that... You have Todd the Corpse's number? Really? Why do you have Todd the Corpse's number?
He has the numbers of people who matter.
Okay. Here's a phone call. This is, the other guy. Brent? I think you're talking about somebody
else.
Brent from the Muddy River Nightmare Band.
Yes.
I think we can say. Maybe he just plays with corpses as a hobby. Maybe he's not really supposed to. I remember being at a wedding. I met him at a wedding, actually. We had a mutual friend who was getting married. And I was sitting across from him because, we both knew the bride, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, oh, hey, listen to your show. And I'm like, oh, Muddy River Nightmare Band. And then at some point in the conversation, there was that thing where, like, we kind of ground to a halt. You know what I mean? And Laura goes, Brent works with dead people. That was how she got the conversation going again. Okay, well, Frank, hold on. We'll take a break. We'll come back here. Frank may have the answer to the implants. Because now I wonder, now I have all kinds of questions. We'll make it a corpse watch. It's 503. Listen to that. You know, I was listening to Queen this morning because they were playing Queen in the office. Because it's just one big Lord of the Flies out there. There's nobody's in town. There's nothing better than Queen. Listen to that. All right. 503-733-2970. We're back after this. Coming up later on, CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop, The Week in Geek, and Corpse Talk. Plus, Harvey Korman, Tim Conway tickets. You don't go anywhere. Stay there.